The Senate will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Girard, Girard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Montes-Anderson, Montes-Anderson, Monroe, Monroe, Morissette, Morris, Morris, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Ferger, Ferger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
All right, we're up to six. Yeah, we just... What else can I do? Let's see. What's that for Haas? A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Senator Dianne Rosenbaum. Our invocation today is by Senator Frank Morris.
Fellow senators and guests, consider wisdom. No matter the pursuit in life, wisdom is to be sought and valued. Quite possibly there is no role in life where wisdom is to be more valued than in these chambers. I can think of no other role where the decisions of so few affect the lives of so many. Because the words we say and the things we do affect so many people and their well-being, may the words of Solomon be our prayer today. Let us pray. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. For the gain from it is better than gain from silver, and its profit better than gold. And nothing you desire can compare with her. Her ways are paths of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. My son, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Let them not escape from your sight, and they will be life for your soul. Amen.
Our honorary pages today are Marissa Cuno and Jennifer Cutler. They're here as guests of Senator Boquist. We also have Mikey Riley, Alyssa Ballard, Richard Hendricks, and Austin Mack, and they're here as guests of Senator Girard. Courtesies of the Senate. Remonstrances. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm speaking from the House has passed House Bill 2630, adopted HCR 5, and passed Senate Bill 311. Speaker has signed House Bills 2190, 2256, 2257, 2258, 2259, 2326, Senate Bills 40, 328, and signed Senate Bill 155.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 59 was distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the Journal of the Status Report. So ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
SCR 7, congratulating William Paul Young for success as author of The Shack. SCR 8, in memoriam Mark Ted Winters, 1924 through 2008. SCR 11, in memoriam James Klansky, 1925 to 2009. Senate Bill 625, Linda Ewen Young.
Passed the calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
SCR 9, in memoriam David Lett, 1939 to 2008.
Chair recognizes Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Colleagues, it is serendipitous today that I'm carrying two Senate concurrent resolutions for two gentlemen who were good friends in life. David Lett, and right after that, Dr. Robert Bacon. Diana Lett, David's wife, told me as we walked down that Dr. Bacon had a great affection for Irie Wines. So today we remember two Oregon icons. Before I begin, I would like to introduce David Lett's family. They're here on this side aisle. Diana, his wife. Diane, his daughter-in-law. Grandchildren Nina and Margot. His two sons, Jason Lett and Jim Lett. And their longtime family friends, Henry and Ruth Richmond. Colleagues, you have the carefully written whereases in front of you. You have the program from David's memorial service at your desk, a memorial service attended by nearly 1,000 people. When we arrived, we received not only a program, but a wine glass to later enjoy a final toast to David with one of his miraculous vintages. There is not much to add. So I will happily, enthusiastically pilfer remarks written about David by none other than Wyden and Kennedy, the gold standard in Oregon advertising, when they rightly singled David Lett out as Papa Pino, ground zero in Oregon's $1.4 billion viticulture industry, a man who gave his wine a place, not just a name. And this is what he said. What would you say if you were told that there's a man in Oregon who's changing the way wine is made and enjoyed, and that this man has cohorts all over Oregon tending grapes in a way that has made the man, his cohorts, and many converts believe that Oregon wine is the most flavorful and some of the best wine in the world. As it so happened one day, a man who came to be known as Papa Pino fell in love with a curious spirit, the curious spirit being a kind of grape they call Pinot. He was so head over heels for this mysteriously delicious fruit, and what happens to it when it's left to sit in a barrel for a bit with some yeast, that he set out to create his own special vineyard just for them. He searched high and low, and as it so happened, the grapes with whom he fell in love just so happened to fall in love with the long, cool growing of the beautiful green hillsides of Oregon. And so they settled here to start their life together. And instead of listening to the ways of European and Californian winemakers, Papa Pino decided to listen to what his vines had to say. He tended them with care and admiration, not forcing them to be anything but what they wanted to be. And he found that when given a chance, Oregon Pinots have many secrets to share. So when you come to Oregon, be sure to try a bottle or seven. Please, colleagues, join me today in toasting Papa Pino by supporting HCR 9. Thank you.
Thank you, Senators. Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading and final adoption of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 9. Those who are of the opinion the resolution should be adopted will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson,
aye.
Przanski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader,
aye.
Starr,
aye.
Telfer,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Walker,
aye.
Whitsett,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Atkinson,
yes.
Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick,
aye.
Not answering, Cruz. Excused, Carter, 29 ayes. Oh, President Courtney. Excused. Carter, 29 ayes.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 9, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the resolution.
SCR 10, in memoriam Dr. Robert Bacon, 1918 to 2009.
Chair recognizes Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Colleagues, I am pleased to present at Senate Concurrent Resolution 10 today. In doing so, I'm going to read from a January 16, 2009 article in the Daily Astorian written by Nancy McCarthy. She wrote, I only met Bob Bacon once, but he made an impression that will last a lifetime. His wife, Sue Daniel, led him out onto the deck of their Gearhart home on a warm October day. As soon as he sat down, his eyes lit up and he grinned delightedly. He was outside, in his element, in nature, near his beloved ocean. Bob seemed to be feeling a little stronger, soaking up the sun for a moment. An hour earlier, the frailty of a 90-year-old retired medical professor and Oregon Beachville leader had been apparent. He needed help walking, his memory had faded somewhat, and he often turned to Sue, his beloved wife, for help in answering my interview questions. But many details remained in his mind about the battle over the Oregon Beach Bill as if it had happened last week instead of nearly 42 years ago. He went back to the beginning, to the day when a student told him that his uncle had been turned away while trying to picnic near Haystack Rock on a beach that a motel owner claimed was his. The incident, Bob told me, enraged the student, who had thought that Oregon's beaches were public. Oswald West, an Oregon governor from 1911 to 1915, who had once had a home overlooking Cannon Beach, had managed to get a bill through the legislature declaring the beaches a state highway, therefore creating public access. But as Bob and his student Cern loomed on a trip to Salem, efforts by property owners to put beaches back in private ownership was well underway. Only by accident did Bob learn of a bill nearing its death in a legislative committee that would extend and define public ownership of the beaches. As he did with everything that caught his attention, especially if it had to do with the sea, Bob worked tirelessly behind the scenes, organizing supporters, gathering information, contacting those in power to make things happen, including Governor Tom McCall and Secretary of State Bob Straub. They worked to get the bill passed. His life and the lives of those he worked with were threatened as a supporter's car was set on fire and Bob was warned to watch out at home. Despite the threats, however, and after many news conferences, thousands of citizen written letters, a helicopter visit by McCall to the North Coast, and at least 10 public hearings in front of legislative committees, House Bill 1601, the Oregon Beach Bill, became law. With McCall's signature, 363 miles of Oregon coastline remain open to the public. It was a personal victory for Bob, who ever since he was a child had studied water creatures under a microscope and had based much of his medical research on sea urchins because their embryonic stage, they are so similar to human embryos. On that day in October when I met Bob, I saw in his eyes a hint of excitement, the same excitement he must have felt when he knew that Oregonians could walk, picnic, and play on their own beaches. I've done a lot of things in my life, Bob told me, but the beach bill was, I think, the most important thing I ever did. While Bob has gone, however, his legacy lives on. Every time someone steps on the sand or feels the embrace of a rushing wave, every time a child's eyes light up after discovering a sea creature in an intertidal pool around Haystack Rock, he lives on. Please join me in memorializing Dr. Bacon by supporting Senate Concurrent Resolution 10.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading and final adoption of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 10. Those who are of the opinion the resolution should be adopted will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Devlin. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, President Courtney, excused, Carter, 29 ayes.
SCR 10, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their regular caucus room.
Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Likewise, Senate Republicans will meet in their caucus room on the third floor.
Okay, so the Senate will be in recess for the purpose of caucus, and we will reconvene at 10 minutes till 11.
Senate will please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Girard, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Bonas Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
So you can almost read my signatures, but if not, then you can't. Yeah. Hello? You can even hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, look at this.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't
A quorum is present. The Senate recessed under the order of the third reading of Senate measures and will resume under that order. Senator Frank Morris, please, for purpose to your eyes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Request return to courtesies.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like for you to extend courtesies to our guests this morning in the West Balcony. We have approximately 45 students from the North Albany Middle School, and they're spending the day in the Capitol meeting with their representatives and specifically the Department of Education. Their teacher is Justin Roach, who's an outstanding educator, Mr. President. Would request that you welcome them to the Capitol and extend courtesies today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Myers, to the North Albany Middle School students. We're really pleased you're here. Hope you're having a great day in your state capitol. It's always an honor and a privilege to have students. Glad you would come over and meet and see us in the Senate. Hope you'll stay and hope you come back again sometime, too. And Senator Morris has been bragging about you, Justin, saying you're a great, great student. I mean, he's great, great, great student, great, great teacher. Which one's Justin? Yeah, he says that you're a phenomenal teacher. So Senator Morris was sharing that with me at the podium. So good job, Justin. Really appreciate it. Nothing better than being a great teacher. We need those. And so North Albany Middle School, thank you, thank you, thank you. We will now return to the regular order of business, which is the third reading of the Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 8 designating an airstrip at Aurora State Airport as West LaMotta Field at Aurora State Airport.
Recognize Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Joint Resolution 8 names the airstrip at Aurora State Airport in honor of West LaMotta to name it as West LaMotta Field. West LaMotta founded Columbia Helicopters in 1957, working with a single helicopter. That very year, he used his helicopter in one of the most dramatic rescues that have ever been attempted and saved one at a time 17 seamen from a sinking ship off Coos Bay, Oregon. Over the course of his career, he developed a number of innovations that helped to transform and expand the helicopter industry. This included being a pioneer in proving the feasibility of helicopter logging in 1971 to provide a light touch on logging operations. His company is now the world leader in heavy lift helicopter operations, working in some of the most remote parts of the field under some of the most extreme weather conditions. West's helicopters harvest timber, have fought forest fires across the West, including here in Oregon, conducted a variety of construction projects, and support all kinds of exploration efforts across the world. Today, after over 50 years of operation, his company now operates globally from their company headquarters right at Aurora State Airport in Aurora. West LaMotta has been honored with the following many awards, just to name a few of them: the Combat Infantry Award in 1945, the Corps of Engineers Air Medal in 1958, and the Helicopter Association International Operators Safety Award. He also, with the help of the rest of his crew at Columbia Helicopters, has now been chosen by the National Guard to actually do maintenance and repair on our own National Guard helicopters. But there's more, and that's the philanthropic side. Wes and his wife Nancy have supported a local children's hospital program offering medical care for babies with brain tumors. The LaMottas have endowed a professorship at Oregon State University. In the Portland area, they have spent hundreds of thousands supporting a domestic violence shelter for homeless women and children and another nonprofit that serves the emotionally distressed. He and his wife Nancy offer financial assistance in a program in Pendleton, Oregon, which supports outreach programs for mentally disabled children. And we also heard testimony from the foundation director of Providence St. Vincent Hospital, in which the LaMottas have given millions of dollars for cancer research quietly in support of their community. It is unfortunate that Wes cannot be here today. He is severely ill. We hope that when this gets to the House side, he would be able to make an appearance. This resolution is supported by the Neighborhood Association of the Aurora State Airport, the foundations, the Department of Aviation, and even his competitors who came to testify to the innovations that he brought to the helicopter industry, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Metzger. Further discussion? Question now rise upon a third reading, the final passage of SJR 8. Those in favor of bills to pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morris. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
SJR 8, having received a constant majority, is declared passed. Senator Hass, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I'd like to go back to courtesies, if I could, please.
Without objection, please feel free to do so.
Mr. President, the bright, smiling faces you see up in the gallery belong to students at Southwest Christian School in Beaverton. I'm asking if you'll open and extend courtesies to them and their leader, Adam Ferguson.
Thank you, Senator Hass. The Southwest Christian School in Beaverton, yes, there you are, and to appreciate your being here today, I hope that you enjoy your stay in the Capitol. I'm glad you were able to come in and join us during the session. So thank you, Senator Hass, the Southwest Christian School in Beaverton. Thank you. We'll now turn to the regular order of business, which is the third reading of Senate measure. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 24, relating to health benefit plan coverage of telemedical services.
Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 24 is a product of a year's worth of work convened by the Telehealth Alliance of Oregon. And also, I do want to thank the good senator from, the senior senator from Southern Oregon, who really had brought forth a telehealth bill last session. We weren't able to get there, but we worked through it. It still isn't what it should be, but this is at least a step in the door. The group included payers, providers, and representatives from the Department of Consumer and Business Affairs, and it is a consensus bill. Those who worked on this bill worked many hours in its preparation, and it's a product of much listening and learning from each other on what is important to include and not to include in the bill. Telemedicine is defined as the use of real-time two-way video communication in which the practitioner can directly access the patient. It requires commercial payers, commercial insurers in Oregon to reimburse providers for appropriate medical services that are provided through telemedicine. The benefits of telemedicine are increased access to healthcare services in rural and underserved communities. It saves time, travel, and related expenses of going to the physician's office, reduction in hospitalizations, emergency department visits, critical care transports, and other related costs. And it eliminates or reduces duplicate medical testing. This is an excellent time to establish this requirement for reimbursement from health benefit plans, as Oregon is poised to see real growth in telemedicine. There's a confluence of events happening that are helping to drive it forward at a much faster pace than we ever thought it would happen. Reduced cost of technology infrastructure, a sharp increase in interest from providers in using telemedicine to provide services, the rapidly growing shortage of healthcare providers and their continuing mail distribution, and the current economic environment. Several hospitals and health systems are providing or are ready to provide telemedicine services. However, the lack of consistent reimbursement from health benefit plans continues to be a barrier. Many of the providers now offering telemedicine services will not be able to continue to provide these services unless they receive reimbursement for them. This bill provides that. Thank you, Mr. Chair, or President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion. Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the bill.
To the bill.
First of all, Mr. President, I would just like to thank the good senator from Gresham, Fairville, Fairview, Troutdale for seeing this all the way through. This is actually a very good bill. This is actually potentially a very good bill as it relates to an affected group of people who usually get left out of services. This idea came to me after a good friend of mine pioneered what has become telehealth to people from Katrina. Barely hear myself. Katrina victims.
A little quiet in the back, please, for the senator.
Who were left out completely of mental health services. It was Oregon Health Science University to Katrina victims that actually set this up. It was clinically tested. It was on target. It was absolutely in line with the federal standards from National Institutes of Health, from National Institutes of Mental Health. Both blessed it as being the model of what should happen. Several years later, ONC counties in Oregon, 13 of our counties ran out of money. And as all of you know, when counties run out of money, usually it's mental health services that are the first to go, and then it's sheriff, and then it's libraries. And you all have been experienced on what that faces. So what I've tried to do in this bill, and the good senator has accomplished in doing, is bringing people together to absolutely have the same level of professional services from one of the best institutions, Oregon Health Science University, and apply that to rural Oregon through the same method that was applied to victims of Katrina. While I do remain heavily skeptical about the contract negotiations that have to go on between all of the insurance companies and actually getting this started, I do want to applaud Senator Mo Sanderson for all of her hard work on getting this started. Hopefully this can be leveraged to help some of the most needy in Oregon get what they need through one of our best institutions. So I'd urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Senator Mona Sanderson, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 24A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Mona Sanderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, voting no. George, Whitsett, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 24A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 159, relating to communicable diseases.
Chair recognizes Senator Mona Sanderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 159 allows for the collection of additional information necessary for disease investigation and control. For example, in the course of investigating persons with reportable diseases, we sometimes need to collect information on persons who may have been the source of a reported illness or who were exposed to the person with the reported illness. We may need a physician to provide us with names of persons who were in the waiting room at the same time as a patient with measles. A case of hepatitis B or hepatitis C may have gotten infected. A person with that may have gotten infected through surgery. And we would need to look for cases among other surgical patients. For example, when I was working for Clackamas County, I went and tested an inmate for TB. Well, he turned out to be positive, but he had already been released from the jail. I was extremely concerned, so I was able to at least let the Clackamas County Jail know about this infected person, and they were able to contact those members that were in the jail at the time and who were exposed. But I really was not legally... it wasn't really legal for me to actually contact the Multnomah County Jail, but I did anyway because I knew this person and I thought there may have been a chance that he was in the jail in Multnomah County. And by gum, he was, but he had also been released from the Multnomah County Jail. But again, these are the types of situations in which we have a very communicable disease, and yet the people are not allowed to pursue finding out where this person is at in certain conditions. Healthcare providers or facilities have really expressed fears of violating it's called HIPAA, the Federal Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, which allows covered entities to give protected health information to public health officials as required by state law. Senate Bill 159 provides additional protection of personal information. And finally, this bill allows to release information to individuals outside public health as necessary for disease investigation and control, like the situation I just told you. The providers are not currently authorized to tell a hospital the name of the patient with measles who had been found in the emergency department so that potentially exposed persons could be identified. Passage of this bill will facilitate the disease investigation and control, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 159A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Sanderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. President Courtney. Not answering. Boquist.
Absent.
Excused. Carter. Absent. Boquist. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 159A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 177, related to practice of social work.
Chair recognizes Senator Mona Sanders.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 177 comes from the Board of Clinical Social Workers, but we now want to expand that and change the name to the State Board of Licensed Social Workers. Oregonians frequently utilize the services of social work professionals in times of crisis or distress, and they need to be able to trust that the person providing assistance has the basic education and expertise to meet the needs and will support them in an ethical manner. So basically, this is a sort of a cleanup bill, and actually what it does is provides language for clinical social workers. It deletes non-clinical definitions. It clarifies the use of education titles. It provides for authority over revoked and lapsed license titles for Title Act boards. It grants the board specific authority to sanction those who have been revoked and who are no longer licensees. It also modifies the civil penalty action from $1,000 to $3,000 per violation. It provides Practice Act language for clinical social workers only and exemptions from the Practice Act authority. It provides for a voluntary registration process of social workers with baccalaureate degrees and for voluntary licensure process for non-clinical master's social workers. And finally, it supplements the board's existing licensure program for licensed clinical social workers who are all at the master's level and clinical social work associates, those with a master's in social work degrees who are working under supervision in preparation for the LCSW licensure. I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 177A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer ayes. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Girard. Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Munns Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, President Courtney. Excused. Carter, voting no. Atkinson, George, Girard, Starr, Whitsett, 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 177A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 275, relating medical assistance for inmates with serious mental illnesses who are released from public institutions, declared emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 275 is a bill that allows for reapplication of Medicaid from 90 to 120 days prior to the inmate's release from incarceration. These are mental health patients. Medicare applications for individuals who have disabilities are processed by the Field Office of Senior and People with Disabilities of the Department of Human Services. For the past 2 years, there has been a collaboration between the Department of Corrections and SPD to process pre-released Medicaid applications for inmates with serious disabilities. We extended the time from 90 days to 90 to 120 days and include those people who are going to be released who are not pre-signed for Medicare, Medicaid. They can be signed up with the other people who were pre-signed. This is an opportunity for inmates to get services as soon as they get out of the institution. It's an excellent bill, and I urge an aye vote. It passed unanimously out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 275A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Hass. Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Munns Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, President Courtney. Excused. Carter, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 275A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 383, relating to home care workers.
Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 383, which comes from our Committee on Commerce and Workforce Development. And this bill makes a fairly simple change and gives home care workers the same ability to be represented at a contested case hearing that all other union members have. Right now they are entitled to be represented at these hearings by an attorney, but in the case of most of these workers, they can't really afford to hire an attorney, so they can then be represented by a labor union representative and does not really change anything else, but simply gives them the right to a fair hearing process. So I would urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 383. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Monsenderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Morissette.
Aye. Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzozinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. President Courtney. Voting no. Cruz. Whitsett. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 383, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 512, on the disclosure of information about students involved in the justice system in a court emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. As my good colleague from Mount Hood and fellow Boise Staters friend Bill Walton would have said if he was quoting Jerry Garcia, what a long, strange trip it's been. Colleagues, this is one of a whole series of bills we have seen and will see this session dealing with the safety of not only students but teachers in schools. And this is a continuation of the work based on Senate Bill 1092 from the February session from my good colleague from Raleigh Hills. Colleagues, what this really does is it allows a school to know that if a student coming into their school has had issues in the justice system, what those issues are. Not necessarily to single them out, but to make sure that the school can make sure services are appropriate and they are dealt with in appropriate ways. We have other bills this session that deal with teachers who do inappropriate things. It's also appropriate that we have a bill to deal with students who may have issues that might put teachers or other students at risk. This is a work group product, and I urge an aye vote. I could go into detail, but that would take too long.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not the question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 512A. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Monsenderson. Monsenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Verger. Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Hass.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 512A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 583, with all terrain vehicle helmet requirements.
Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. I rise in support of Senate Bill 583. This bill was unanimously passed out of the Business and Transportation Committee. The bill was brought forth by the ATVing community and has no opposition. Current statute requires the wearing of motorcycle helmets for drivers and passengers under 18 years of age of Class 1 and Class 3 all-terrain vehicles. there is no requirement for drivers and passengers of Class 2 all-terrain vehicles. A Class 2 all-terrain vehicle is any motor vehicle that weighs more than a Class 1 ATV, i.e. more than 800 pounds, is designed for or capable of cross-country travel on or immediately over land, water, sand, snow, ice, marsh, swampland, or other natural terrain, and is being operated off-highway. SB 583 requires drivers and passengers of Class 2 all-terrain vehicles who are under 18 years of age to wear motorcycle helmets, with one exception. They do not have to wear a motorcycle helmet if the Class 2 all-terrain vehicle has a roof or roll bar. I urge your support of SB 583 so we can continue to make ATVing a safer family sport. The bill has no opposition. Good bill should pass.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Not. The question now arises on third reading. Final passage is Senate Bill 583. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montzenderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. President Courtney. Voting no. Boquist, Ferrioli, Gerard, Johnson, Cruz, Whitsett. 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 583, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 595, relating to veterans in court emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Hass.
Mr. President, in 2008, we made a promise to our fallen veterans. To those who served bravely and made the ultimate sacrifice, we made certain that their widows and their orphans would be given the chance to attend a university in Oregon free of charge. As a result, tuition waivers are now granted to widows and orphans of members of our armed forces who have died or who are 100% disabled as a result of their military service.
Could we have a little quiet, please?
Proceed, these Senator. Recipients are able to use the waivers to attend an Oregon university to pursue bachelor's and master's degrees. The bill before you today removes the requirement that this benefit is only for families who lost veterans after September 11, 2001. With passage of this bill, there will be no limit of families of fallen GIs. For practical purposes, this really just involves mostly veterans from the Desert Storm era. Because of arithmetic and aging, vets groups assured us there aren't many widows and orphans before the early 1990s who will qualify for these waivers. So this is a simple adjustment to a very important public policy statement, a policy that says we can never replace your loss, we can never mend your broken hearts, but we can transform your life with a free university education, courtesy State of Oregon. I ask for your support.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The good Senator and I worked on this bill last session, Senate Bill 1066, and it has met with great success. And so I am very pleased that we're expanding it. You know, you don't want to put your foot out there in front of you got to have one foot out before you stick the other one out to really know if something's going to work well. Otherwise, you have to go back and redo and remake something that you've created that is kind of a mess. Well, we did it cautiously, decided that it worked, and now we've expanded the program. I think this is an awesome opportunity. It certainly is on a space-available basis, so there's no real significant cost here, and we are providing something for families who have lost someone in the service of their country. So, colleagues, I would urge you to support this bill. It's just a great thing that we can do to honor our veterans and their families. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Haskey wished to close. He does not. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 595. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer.
Senator Telfer, how do you vote? How do you vote, Senator?
Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
President Courtney. 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 595, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 663, Linda Begging, Senior Office Director of Irrigation District.
Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is Senate Bill 663. It's a very simple bill that comes to us through our committee, has no known opposition, and it changes the method for filing a vacancy on the board of directors of an irrigation district. Believe it or not, there needed a little fix to the law, and this is it. I would urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 663. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson. Montes Anderson. President Courtney. Voting no. Gerard, 29 ayes.
Senator Gerard says he votes aye.
30 ayes.
Senate Bill 663, after having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 685, relating to extensions of credit.
Chair recognizes Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 685 came out of your Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. What 685 is going to do is allow an individual who has the right under state or local ordinance or law to be able to use their business address when they're applying for credit. So a creditor would be prohibited from denying an application for credit solely based on the individual using their business address where state law or city ordinance would allow them to do so instead of using their residential address, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? If not, the question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 685. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass. Excuse me. Senator Brzezinski.
Mr. Speaker, before we vote, I do need to put a potential conflict of interest on the record. I am a prosecutor under the state law. I do have the right to use a business address if I choose to do so.
Your conflict will be noted. The clerk will call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
aye.
Montez Anderson, Monroe, President Courtney, 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 685, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 875, Wounded Assistance Animals, declared emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, here is another bill from our Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs, Senate Bill 875. Those of you who were here in our February session will remember passing a bill that gave the state the ability to process housing discrimination complaints, thereby making things more expeditious and easier for landlords and tenants who have those complaints. And this is one of a series of bills which has been made necessary to make sure that state law conforms with the federal law. And it does just this, that it will prohibit a landlord from charging a fee or deposit for an assistance animal in rental housing. It does not in any way interfere with other kinds of deposits that would be charged to people generally, only those for the animal. So that's all it does, and we do need to do this in order to make sure our state law is in conformity. It passed our committee unanimously, and I would urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will the carrier yield to a question?
Will the carrier yield? She will.
Could you distinguish between a service animal and a companion animal, and how this bill applies to each definition?
Thank you for that question, which did come up in our committee hearing. This only applies to a service animal, the sort of animal that would be for a physical disability, such as a seeing eye dog. It would not apply to other kinds of companion animals for other conditions.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Do you wish to close? The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 875. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morse. Morse.
Senator Morris.
Monroe. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger.
Aye.
Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. President Courtney. President Courtney. 30 ayes.
Senate Bill 875, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
HCR 5, congratulating Coach Daniel Miles and OIT on success of men's basketball program. House Bill 2630, with Oregon Fire Commission, declared emergency.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures. Third reading of House measures. Other business of the Senate. In accordance with SR 8.40 sub 3, committee referral list number 86 was distributed to the members April 2nd. The referrals will be recorded in the journal and the status report. So ordered. Announcements. I am to announce to you that we will not be having floor session on Friday. On Friday, there will not be a floor session, so you can plan accordingly. Are there further announcements? Chair recognizes Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, Senate colleagues. Senate Democrats, go directly to caucus room. We'll get done in 30 minutes, so go directly to your caucus room.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Republicans have a full caucus agenda, so please get your lunches and go directly to the caucus room. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senators. Are there further announcements? If there are no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 a.m. Wednesday, April 8th.